This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Picasso knows your vacation home is your best home. It's the place that brings family and friends together. It's where you're the best version of yourself. Picasso makes it easy to co-own a luxury vacation home in amazing locations. Listings start at $200K for 1/8 ownership. Picasso does all the work for you. Luxury furnishings, maintenance, billing, scheduling, and more. And you can resell on Picasso's marketplace anytime, historically for a 10% gain. Visit Picasso to see thousands of listings. That's PACASO.com.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
The Large Neutron Collider podcast is a production of iHeartRadio.
Everybody, welcome to the Large Neutron Collider podcast, the podcast that's all about the geeky things happening in the world around us and how excited we are about them. I'm Ariel Kasten, and with me as always is my wonderful friend and co-host, Jonathan Strickland.
Hi, Ariel. Guess what?
Hi. What?
I got a question for you.
You got a question for me? Okay, what is your question?
You know what the question is. Here's the question for everybody, because this is the big one. This is one that requires preparation, which is why Ariel already knows the question. This is not one you can just drop on somebody, because it requires real thought. Ariel, I'm glad to be the one to get to tell you this. You're a professional wrestler. Mm-hmm. What's your entrance theme?
It would be The Wake of Magellan by Sabotage.
Now we're going to make our listeners look stuff up, which is awesome, because I'm also going to do that, because my answer for this is that it would be Cash Money by Prince Charles and the City Beat Band. So let me ask you, Ariel, what is it about the song that makes you think, okay, this is my entrance theme?
Well, it's Sabotage, for people who don't know. They were the group that Trans-Siberian Orchestra is now. They used to be a metal band, and they did a few rock operas. One of them was called The Wake of Magellan, which is all sea shanty-ish, but also rock opera. And they won't allow anybody to perform their pieces. So since WWE is kind of a performance art, I think that would be a great way to bring life to these little known rock operas without upsetting the creator's wishes.
Yeah. See, I don't care about the creator's wishes, but that's very kind of you to spare that kind of thought. Yeah. In my case, it's Cash Money. The way it goes, it starts with a sort of chant that goes pennies, nickels, dimes, quarters, dollar bills, $100 bills. And you know, it's all about money. And to me, like it's right in line with some great entrance themes that classic heels have used, like the Million Dollar Man or Shane McMahon, who does Here Comes the Money is his. And that's just sort of that kind of persona that I think would be a lot of fun to play. I've always kind of gravitated more toward the heels, the bad guys in wrestling. I've always found them more interesting. But yeah, I was just one of those things where I thought, this is one of those geeky conversations I used to have all the time with like my fellow wrestling buddies. Just like, wouldn't it be awesome if every time you walked into a room, you had entrance music to announce your arrival? And if so, what would it be?
I mean, I like WWE. I don't follow it nearly as closely as you, but I do enjoy watching it.
It's been a while since I've watched it, too. I mean, there's still some great entrance themes out there. You know, there's like Bobby Roode or Robert Roode has one called Glorious that I absolutely love. And Bray Wyatt has, well, he used to do Broken Out with Love, but now it's like a remix version of that. That's super creepy. It really fits his character. A lot of them end up sounding very generic, especially like in the late 90s period. You had an era where it was almost impossible to tell them apart because they were all just that chunky rock guitar sound and that was it. But yeah, and I'm curious about what our listeners think. So at the end of the episode, when we get to telling you all the ways to get in contact with us, one of the things you need to tell us is what's your entrance theme, because that's important.
Yes. Oh, I do have an exit theme too, because if I'm going to come in all business on Wake of the Magellan, I'm going to go out on One Last Drink by Enter the Haggis.
Oh, wow. Now, see, that's awesome, because there's not that many wrestlers who do that, where they have two different themes, where they have one for the entrance and one for when the match is over and they've won. But there are some who do, so that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, because you got to go in serious, then you got to go out fun, so people remember you on a good
note. So are you saying it's business in the front and party in the back? Are you a mullet?
Yes, I would be the mullet of the WWE wrestlers.
Okay, all right. Well, now that we have established our level of class, it's time for us to tackle this week's news.
Well, I'm glad you said class, because our first topic is very, very classy, Jonathan. It's that Deadpool 3 is a go.
Yeah, it's gonna happen. And this is one of those things that, you know, sometimes people might say that's a no-brainer, but it's a total brainer, because since Deadpool 2, Disney actually purchased Fox, right? And so there was a lot of hope that there would be another Deadpool, but everyone was wondering, what would a Deadpool look like when Disney's the owner of the property, and especially if they want to incorporate it into the MCU, which is very much not in the style of Deadpool, but from what we're hearing, it sounds like they're dedicated to making this stay kind of that R-rated edge that we come to expect.
They are, and they've got Ryan Reynolds still attached to the project. He's working on the script. We're not going to get it this year because Ryan Reynolds is busy and because it's still kind of a crazy year.
Well, especially with as of all right now. Those announcements that Marvel made. Like, there's just not room for yet another project right in the immediate future.
But, I mean, it is coming. And, you know, as much as they say, is this within the MCU, I can see people wondering if Deadpool would stay rated R, but Disney does put out more adult content. You know, they also own FX and Hulu. So, you know, we're getting that Aliens show that we talked about and things like that. So I don't think it's unusual. I just, you know, they may not put it on Disney Plus.
Well, and some of the MCU films get edgy is probably the wrong word, but they push the limit.
Dark.
Yeah, they get dark. They get dark. That's a good way of putting it. Mm-hmm. I don't think of them as necessarily edgy, but they definitely get a little darker. Also, they announced that there's entirely the possibility that Deadpool could show up in other titles, not just his own movie, which, now granted, this would require Sony signing on as well, but it really makes me wish that we get a Deadpool cameo in Spider-Man 3, because we already know a ton of other characters are showing up in Spider-Man 3.
Yeah.
So having and Deadpool and Spider-Man in the comics have a long history with one another. So,
you know, and I've played enough Marvel games that I know that Deadpool can still be snarky and funny without being R-rated, which he'd probably have to be if he were in Spider-Man.
Yes. Well, pretty much anything that would be beyond the series. I think Marvel, like the serialized episodic TV type stuff, I think Marvel tends to get a little more edgy with that. I mean, you look at things like Jessica Jones and Daredevil. Those are definitely got a harder edge to them than the films do. But moving on to something else that might also be pretty edgy is Moon Knight. Now, Moon Knight is one of those Marvel characters that I don't think a lot of people know much about.
No, when you describe Moon Knight at face value, it sounds like he could be problematic to portray. He is a gentleman with dissociative identity disorder that manifests different personalities. You know, I just started watching Doom Patrol, Jonathan. Mm-hmm. So similar to Crazy Jane, yep. Except for I don't think all of his personalities have their own powers.
No, but one of his personalities is Moon Knight. It also reminds me of, and I can't remember the character's name. All the comic book fans are going to hate me, but the mutant who also has multiple personalities, that mutant has a different power for each of those personalities.
Legion.
Thank you. Yes. Ariel with the Rescue.
Great show.
So Legion,
great show.
So similar in that respect, but in this case, yeah, Moon Knight is the personality that has the powers. And also I think a lot of people compare Moon Knight sort of to Batman. Like that's kind of the feel to it. Well, we now know that Justin Benson and Aaron Moorhead, both known for independent horror movies, are going to be directing Moon Knight. So that's interesting.
It's very interesting to me because it's not the first time that the MCU has leaned on horror directors for their movies. The original director for the second Doctor Strange was also a horror director who just left because he wanted to tell a different story than the MCU wanted. But
yeah, which we've seen happen a couple of times before.
Yeah, but it does pose the question of, are they going to make this next round of MCU a lot more adult and less friendly for children because it's all going to be so much darker?
Yeah. I will say I have not seen any of their movies, but I have seen a segment of VHS Viral that they did. It's called Bone Storm. It has to do with skateboarders, and I hated it. But to be fair, I pretty much hated everything in VHS Viral. It was not a good entry in the series, in my opinion, but
I don't watch horror movies, so I didn't see it. But I will say, you know, I'm willing to give him a chance because I wouldn't have necessarily had said that James Gunn was going to make an amazing Guardians of the Galaxy movie, but it's one of my favorite MCU movies.
I honestly, at the time, I didn't think anyone would be able to make a good Guardians of the Galaxy movie. It's just so weird. Something that is not weird, something that I think is completely expected, but you know, now we've got word of it, is that Galaxy's Edge, the Star Wars themed area of the Disney parks, may soon have some new characters from a familiar Disney Plus series.
Yeah, we'll be possibly getting the Mandalorian characters, and also possibly the Razor Crest, which they're saying may replace Kylo Ren's ship. This is all rumor right now, but I don't know. I don't want them to replace Kylo Ren's ship. He's actually quite an intimidating character when you run into him at Galaxy's Edge.
I haven't even seen it yet because I haven't been to Disney. I haven't been to Hollywood Studios since they built Galaxy's Edge. So I have not even seen Kylo Ren's ship. I mean, obviously, like this is such a big hit for Disney. I think it would be ridiculous if they did not bring those characters into the park, especially, you know that Grogu, aka Baby Yoda, is gonna be everywhere. On every t-shirt, on every cup.
You know, you can already meet Groot. You can already meet Baby Groot. So now if you can meet Grogu, and then if you can meet them together having a dance off.
I didn't know you could meet Baby Groot. I met adult Groot at Disneyland. he was about 8 feet tall.
I have not met Baby Groot personally, but I know that he has been at Hollywood Studios. Some of our mutual friends have pictures with Baby Groot and Star-Lord.
So we hate you, friends.
But we love you also. Yeah. Something else I love is Doctor Who,
as many of you know.
But you also like Richard Ayoade.
Yes.
Did I say that correctly?
Richard Ayoade. Yeah. He's the...
Yay!
He was Moss on the IT Crowd. And when the BBC, someone asked fans who they thought should play the next Doctor, because the rumor is, of course, that that our current Doctor will be leaving after this season,
yeah.
which it makes sense. Three seasons and Doctor is out. That's something that's happened several times now. Heck, Eccleston only got one season. But
he chose. Yeah. We won't get into that.
Right.
In this episode.
So Ariel, since you're the Doctor Who fan, really, mm-hmm. I mean, I've watched a fair number of episodes, but I don't consider myself a fan. What is your reaction to the idea of Richard Ayoade playing the Doctor?
I think he would be amazing because I like Jodie Whittaker, our current Doctor. I think she has done a fantastic job with it, but I really like, you know, my first Doctor was Baker, Tom Baker. And so I always associate Doctor Who with kind of a curmudgeonly, dry sense of humor, kind of cranky person. And Jodie Whittaker is far from that. I think the biggest fault with her Doctor, and albeit I haven't watched the latest season, is that she doesn't have enough faults for me. She's a little too perfect. So I think Richard, especially after watching his Travel Man series, where he is just the crankiest person in the world, affably cranky, I think he would be a perfect Doctor. I think my other favorite on the list of people to play the Doctor would be Phoebe Waller-Bridge on this poll.
See, for me, Ayoade, I wouldn't want him to be the Doctor, but the reason for that is because I would never, ever be able to see him as the Doctor and not think Moss from IT, because that was such a definitive character. And I know that's not who Ayoade is. I know that was a character,
mm-hmm.
but it was such a definitive character. And that voice is just so distinctive that I think I would just be thinking like, oh, this is like a weird IT crowd parody of Doctor Who.
I mean, you know, I'm not opposed to that.
Okay. Fair enough.
And then Roy could be his companion. And he could constantly get stuck in the TARDIS and need help, need assistance.
You need Jen in there too to really be a total pain in the butt as well.
Listen, Jodie Whittaker started off with three or four companions, so I think you can have two companions.
I say you get is his name Matt Berry, the guy who played the guy who played the boss, and he's also the Toast of London. Get him as the Doctor. Yes, that'd be amazing.
He's a great actor, and I would not be able to stand the Doctor at that point.
Phenomenal. Get Clem Fandango as his companion. Yes, I know Clem Fandango. That'd be amazing. Well, we've got other stories we should cover really quickly before we move on.
Yes.
One is that I wasn't aware of this until after it had happened, that the NFL played their wild card game on Nickelodeon, and there were total like on-screen effects that were Nickelodeon related, and that to me is phenomenal.
Yes, I like, you know, kids play football. Yeah, that's cool. Sure. Kids play sports, so I like that. They made it a little bit more entertaining.
Yeah.
I mean, it also makes it more entertaining for me.
Well, they even had like young Sheldon pop up and explain specific things that happened with, when things happen in the game, like if there was a false start, young Sheldon popped up to explain what a false start was.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, when they were going for a field goal, you would see SpongeBob in between the uprights. It was really weird. A touchdown would result in on-screen slime cannons, virtual slime cannons.
It would have been, you know, I was about to say it would have been better if they were real-life slime cannons, because that would be hilarious, but that would also probably lead to a lot of slippery injuries, yeah. And I don't
I was just thinking, like, you would have a lot of people on the injured list after that game.
If I want to see people get hurt, I'll watch either MMA or hockey. Come
yeah. All right. Well, in our final story for this episode, for this section, is that there's an interesting trend on TikTok. There always are. There are always interesting trends on TikTok. But this is one that I think Ariel feels a particular kinship with, because the trend is people singing sea shanties, a specific one, the Wellerman.
Yes. Now, there are lots of sea shanties happening on TikTok right now, but specifically the Wellerman, which is a song that my band covers and has for quite a few years. In a slightly different way, it's basically this guy named Nathan Evans who sings the Wellerman, and then other TikTokers are adding in their harmonies. And it's fantastic. It sounds beautiful.
Yeah.
And there's so many different renditions of it. And it makes me sit there going, one, I wish I came up with those harmonies. And two, I wish it weren't COVID times, because my band would 100% put our version up on the TikToks.
Yeah, that would be a lot of fun. I think it's a neat thing. You know, to me, the thing that brought sea shanties back was Assassin's Creed Black Flag, mm-hmm. because you would go around collecting sea shanties, and every time you collected one, it would be added to your crew's repertoire, to the point where I wouldn't use fast travel in that game just because I wanted to hear what song they were going to sing. And the fact that I was familiar with probably about 80% of the songs, because sea shanties and Renaissance Festival music have a very heavy overlap in the Venn diagram, even though the sea shanties are usually about 200 years too late for Renaissance festivals. I'm on board with this one. I am the grumpy old man who shakes my fist at TikTok typically, but in this case, I'm on board, so to speak.
And if you all want to hear the sea shanties, I got that,
on
Jonathan.
On board.
On board. If you all want to hear the sea shanties and ignore that pun, you can search for the hashtag sea shanty on TikTok.
Yes.
Yeah, it's really fantastic.
I look forward to seeing ones where they do Barrett's Privateers, because that song hits hard. All right. Well, that wraps up our news items for this section. When we come back, we're going to have an epic discussion about Epic Games. But first, let's take a quick break.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Okay, we're back, and we were talking about different things that we could tackle as a discussion topic for our second segment, and this is one of those topics that was always at the top of our minds when we were making out lists of things that we wanted to talk about on this show, and it is the tendency for games to get more and more epic, and whether or not that is in general a good thing or a bad thing, both from a game experience perspective and maybe even like from a developer perspective.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're talking stuff like Fallout, Skyrim, Assassin's Creed. I'd probably say Cyberpunk 2020 as well.
Cyberpunk, if it had measured up to the vision that they had when they started working on it.
Yes. Which goes into that conversation of whether or not you can get too epic in your game design. So, do you enjoy playing games that are epic long stories with a ton of side missions and open world sandboxy games?
All right, I'm gonna couch this because the initial answer is yes. The initial answer is okay. I love the Fallout games. Even as I have problems with the Fallout games, the biggest problem I have with Fallout, besides the sprawling nature that we'll get to, is the tonal inconsistency, because you get very weird satire and parody in Fallout, and then you get like super grim, dark nastiness in Fallout.
Yeah.
And if it were one or the other, it would be easier to kind of grok. But the fact that you have both is really weird. But that being said, I always love the beginning of those games. I love the discovery. I love building up the character to a certain point. But inevitably, I start to run out of steam and I hit fatigue. And often it'll take me 5 or 6 tries to play through one of these games, and even then it's on that 5th or 6th try where I'm just like trying to be laser focused. I'm like, no, I'm not gonna go do that side mission. I'm just gonna focus on the main story because I need to see how this ends. Because having all those options and having all those avenues to explore, I kept feeling the need to explore them, because I worried that if I continued the main story, I might shut off an avenue and I wouldn't be able to go back and see it.
Yeah, so I had that same problem when I was playing Mass Effect, which is, at least the first couple were not as much of an open world as let's say Fallout or Skyrim are. But there, you know, I would play and they would have side missions. And it was a matter of, I don't really want to do this side mission. I don't really want to, as they say in the MMO world, go shoot snow bears in the snow. I want to continue the storyline. But if I don't do this side mission, I won't get the options in the storyline I want. That being said, for me, it's much better than a sandbox game, a sandbox world, Skyrim, which I loved. I also loved the beginning of that because there was a ton of discovery and it walked you through and there was the storyline where I could interact with it, but my hand was kind of being held. But once I got out into the world of Skyrim, like, I got incredibly lost. Everything was crafting. There were so many little side missions that it took me too far away from the main storyline to find my way back to it.
That's fair. Yeah. And another thing that kind of reminds me of, Ariel, that whole crafting part that you mentioned, is that a lot of these epic games seem to be filled with what I would call busy work. Like, even the side missions can frequently be busy work where you realize you're doing something that's taking up time, but it's not really necessarily adding that much of an enjoyable or entertaining experience. And you're playing a game. Ostensibly, you're playing a game in order to be entertained, right? So, yeah. I mean, there's some games that are more like, this is more about art or more about making a statement. And I'm not trying to invalidate that. But I am saying that if you've got a game that is huge for the purposes of being huge, or because you feel like you have an obligation to make the game bigger than the last game that was in your series, that mm-hmm. seems to be an unhealthy cycle. And it leads to these enormous games that lose their way, where you either don't even like you. There would be times where I'd be playing some of these games where I wouldn't even remember what the story was anymore, because I had been going mm-hmm. on so many side missions that I had lost track of what the thread was for the overall narrative. And then I wouldn't feel like I'd feel like, oh man, I don't even want to do the story because I don't find the story as interesting anymore. Or I don't really know who's who anymore. And the time I would need to spend to learn all that just seems like it would be, treading over ground I've already been on.
Yeah. Yeah. And you can do that in an MMO because you've got other people to share the experience mm-hmm. with. But when you're doing it by yourself, it can be tedious, like you said, especially if it's a game that has been rushed out, like we saw in Cyberpunk.
Yeah.
Where, and I say it was rushed. They delayed releasing that game
a couple of times.
Repeatedly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. In an effort to make it better, but still they tried to do too much.
Mm-hmm. And that actual storyline is really short. Like, you can mainline the storyline mm-hmm. of Cyberpunk 2077. If you were to just do that and not do any exploration or any side missions, you could complete that pretty quickly. So it means that you've got even more busy work filling up all the rest of the stuff.
Yeah. I will say, whenever I play an epic game and I get further along in the storyline and I see that little progress bar, I do get upset that if it's a good story, that it's going to be over as soon as it is, even though I don't really want to do the side missions to extend it, because I oftentimes don't feel that resource gathering or that crafting adds to the story at all. If I want to play a resource management game, I'll just play a resource management game.
Well, and the other issue here is that, so one, making games bigger does not necessarily make them better. So that's mm-hmm. I think that's a terrible metric. So whenever I hear when a new game is coming out and they'll say it's 80% larger than the map of the last game, to me, I'm thinking, well, that doesn't mean it's good. There might also be 80% more empty space, which just means you're taking more time to get from point A to point B, and there's nothing interesting to look at. Like, that's not good either. Or you could have filled it with so much stuff that it just is overwhelming and you don't, you quickly get fatigue, like I had said. On top of that, by adding this, let's make the game bigger and bigger and bigger every single time, it adds to the pressure of the development team to make that a reality, and mm-hmm. requires more crunch. It requires, more delays often, because you have to test everything. And as you're making it bigger, there are more opportunities for stuff to go wrong. So in many ways, I am starting to prefer smaller scale games that have a more focused story. Mm-hmm. It's not that I want there to be, a straight on the rails approach through the game. I'm not saying that. I don't want it to be like a walking simulator for everything. I don't want it to be, one of the Walking Dead games from Telltale or anything like that. Those are interesting stories, but I feel like there's got to be a happy medium between ginormous game where you'll never see everything and a game where you don't have any real choices.
So I think there is, and I think, well, it's a little too early to say, but I think Final Fantasy VII would be a good example of how I think that should go, because they made a much bigger world. They, in recreating Final Fantasy VII, they made it much larger, but now it's spread out through a few games. So they can focus on each chunk of that story that they've expanded out a little bit at a time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so then it becomes like a series of games, as opposed to this, Like, I've just loaded up Skyrim. The entire world is open to me once I finish the tutorial.
And I'm stuck on a side of a mountain because I got lost. Yeah.
Or I turned a corner and there was a dragon and it ate me and I'm a level two character. Yeah, it's not to tell game designers how to do their jobs. They know way better than I do, but it's a trend that I have found particularly frustrating. Even as I'm enjoying a game, like if I sit there and think about it, I often come to the realization of I'm not likely to ever finish this. I have Red Dead Redemption 2. I have never finished that game. it's just sitting there. Like, I don't think I even got out of the early tutorial parts because that lasts like 2 hours.
I haven't finished Skyrim. I haven't finished Mass Effect Andromeda. And the number of games my husband hasn't finished is much, much larger.
Yeah, I fired up Borderlands 3 the other day just out of curiosity because I bought that when it first came out. And I was thinking, you know, I never finished that game. I should go ahead and finish it out, see what that game is like, because I enjoyed the earlier Borderlands games. And that's a shooter, right? It's not like an RPG or anything. So I thought, I'll just fire this up, see how far I've got to go to get to the end. Started it up, realized my character in Borderlands 3 was level 4. I hadn't gone anywhere. I hadn't done anything in that game. So they just showed how quickly I will give up when it starts. Of course, Borderlands 3 also had the problem of being more Borderlands, right? It didn't add a whole lot of new stuff to it, but
this is when you need to start playing roguelike games where you can just have like a playthrough and then you're done, and then you have a next playthrough and it's a little different.
I haven't really gotten into roguelikes, and it's one of those where I feel like I do need to do that. I hear that Hades is the game to get into.
I haven't played Hades. I know that FTL has been fun for some of my friends.
Yeah, well, Hades is the one that all the people I know have gone gaga for. For one thing, they say all the gods and goddesses in that game are sexy schmexy as all get out. So, well, yeah, I mean,
Greek mythology.
Yeah, you know, it's those Greeks, they knew how to party. All right. Well, I guess that kind of wraps up our conversational topic. But when we come back, we'll have our mashup, which makes an iconic science fiction action film meet up with an iconic video game. But we'll explain more after we take this quick break.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
Okay, so like you said, we're taking an iconic video game and an iconic movie. We've already talked about movies and video games, and we're mashing them up. So how we're doing that is we are mashing up The Matrix with Super Mario Brothers.
Yeah. So this was kind of a last-minute decision to mash these up. And we have each taken our time to craft our mashup. And once again, we are individually convinced that we have managed independently to come up with the exact same plot. We have proven ourselves wrong in every episode so far, but maybe this is the one where we essentially have carbon copies of one another. So Ariel, do you want to go first? Do you want me to go first?
You know what? You get to decide this time. I get to choose every week. Okay. You get to decide.
I'll tell you what, I will go first because I think you've gone first with every episode so far. Unless that puts too much pressure, are you cool with me going first?
No.
Okay, groovy.
I'm fine with you going
first.
All
right, here we go. Enter the Mario. Thomas Anderson, a seemingly mundane computer programmer in the Mushroom Kingdom, is secretly a hacker. His hacker codename, Mario. Anderson suspects there's something going on in the world at large, but can't quite put his finger on it. In hacker circles, there's talk of this thing called The Matrix. Anderson is close to finding out what The Matrix actually is. Meanwhile, a group of other hackers who have already learned about what the world is, spoiler alert, it's a video game, are trying to get in contact with Anderson. Anderson receives a message from Peach, a woman with superhuman jumping abilities. She tells Anderson that a man known only as Luigi wants to meet with him. But before Anderson can make a decision, a bunch of agents, or Goombas, bust into his workplace, led by the intimidating Agent Bowser, played by a digital recreation of Dennis Hopper. Anderson is chased by the agents and must trust Peach when she tells him to jump down a big green sewer pipe. He does, and next thing he knows, he wakes up in a dingy basement, holding an old SNES controller in his hands. Anderson, now known simply as Mario, discovers that long ago, video game consoles took over the world, and that humanity has now been reduced to becoming bio-batteries connected to these consoles like the PS27 and the Xbox Series Pumpkin. But a group of gamers, led by Luigi, are working to free people from this captivity. Only one of them, known by the codename Wario, is secretly working with the consoles in return for being able to live out the rest of his life in Burger Time, because he really likes burgers! Luigi offers Mario a choice. He can go back to living his fictional life within the matrix of the Mushroom Kingdom by eating the blue mushroom, or he can choose the red mushroom. Mario goes for the red mushroom and soon begins a training montage on how to do stuff like wield a big hammer, or jump really high, or occasionally shoot out fireballs or turn into a tanuki. Because of Wario, Luigi is captured within the Matrix, and so Peach and Mario must go on a rescue mission after jumping on top of Wario's head to squish him. They go through this really cool action scene in which they take out tons of Goombas in a bank lobby using fireballs all over the place. This eventually leads to Mario facing off against Agent Bowser. Bowser manages to beat up Mario a bit until Mario can clearly see the code, whereupon he jumps up and he hits a star! Now immune from damage, Mario absolutely wails on Bowser until Bowser is defeated, temporarily at least. Mario rescues Luigi, but finds out, sadly, the solution to freeing all of humanity is in another castle, setting up the sequel. The end.
That was wonderful. And I think this might be the closest we've ever gotten to having the same mashup.
Okay.
So it's not exactly the same, but it's kind of close. So instead of pivoting and trying to come up with something completely different, I'm just going to read mine.
Okay.
It's-a-me, a Marnio. So Marnio is a plumber for a respectable plumbing company, Roto-Rooter. One day, his girlfriend ghosts him, like totally gone, and he starts searching for her. But before he can even leave his house, he gets a knock on his door, and there is a guy who introduces himself as Toad, who says he has the answers Marnio is looking for to find his girl. So see, kind of similar, all right. But first he must choose whether to eat the red mushroom or the green mushroom. Marnio chooses the green mushroom, and all of a sudden a pipe opens up in the middle of his living room. Toad beckons Mario to follow him, and Marnio does. Once he gets to the other side, he finds out that the world he was living in was a sham, and that the real world is being turned into items and pawns by a bunch of turtle machines called Koopas. Koopa stands for Kinetically Optimized Operational Programs Assimilation Subset. And they've kidnapped his girlfriend, Peach, who discovered the Toadstool Protocol, which will free everyone from their imprisonment and stop the Koopa machines. You see, everybody's been, like, stuffed into boxes, and basically they're being used as human objects to make the Koopa world more comfortable. The Koopas have really laid waste to the real world, putting lava pits in and vast wastes of ocean where once there was civilization, and people have gone crazy. And so these items that are inhabited by people are attacking Marnio like on site. So, you know, everything is coming at him and he has to dodge and weave and try to get around it. And every time he thinks he's found his girlfriend, she's not there. She's in a different castle or pylon or whatever it's called in this real world. But soon he finally makes it to the final castle pylon thing, to where the Bowser core is housed, which is an AI controlling all the Koopa machines. He breaks the Bowser core off, and it falls into one of the lava pits that is conveniently nearby, and rescues his girlfriend. She inserts the Toadstool Protocol into the Koopa Bowser infrastructure and releases everyone entrapped in the real world. They are so thrilled they make her the princess of the real world, because for some reason monarchy still exists, even though they've been freed from machines. And she and Marnio start to rebuild humanity, one Goomba at a time.
Oh, I don't think they were that similar. I mean, granted, we both are dealing with the story structure of the Matrix and then working in the Mario references wherever we can.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean, that's understandable. But no, I think we both had a very fun little take on that. You went with a very much more in-world fiction, whereas I got a little more meta with the video game consoles thing. Mm-hmm. But I think, it just, again, shows how we think differently about these pitches and again, proves that we don't share them with each other before we record.
We certainly don't. One of these days, though.
Yeah, we'll get one that's just up. Be exactly. Well, then whoever goes first, when the second person goes, they'll just say ditto. And then it'll be the end, which also will tell you one of two things. Either we really did create the exact same pitch, or the person who went second was lazy and didn't bother.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's all we have for today.
Yes.
If you have ideas how the Matrix and Mario should have been mashed up, or opinions on epic video games, or what roguelike game Jonathan should try, or you want to talk about your pretend WWE character, please write out and reach out and write to us.
Yes, reach out and write to us. That's smooth. And we've got a couple different ways for you to do that, including a brand new one. We have an email address. It just took a little bit for us to get it. lnc@iheartmedia.com. That will get right to the email inbox of yours truly, actually. I will see it. And we'll be glad to reach you that way if you have specific things you want to say that are in long form. Or you can reach out to us on Twitter, where we are lnc_podcast. Or on Facebook or Instagram, we are Large Nerdron Collider there.
And we have a new old website. It's Yeah, it's our old website. It's new again. LargeNeutronCollider.com. You can go to there and find our episodes. You can leave us a note. You can also find all of the show notes for this episode and every episode going forward. So if that way you want to look a little bit more into one of the stories we've talked about, you can go out and read about
it. Yeah, we will link to all the stories we covered. And we look forward to hearing from you. We are really excited. We've received some cool interactions so far, and we're just getting started. Remember, if you enjoyed this episode, then give us a review. You know, recommend us to some of your friends. Word of mouth really does help. We're seeing growth week over week. And that's largely because of you guys, and we are very thankful for you.
Yes, and so until next time, I'm Ariel Kasten.
And I'm Mario. Jonathan Strickland. It's a me.
The Large Neutron Collider is a production of iHeartRadio and was created by Ariel Kasten. Jonathan Strickland is the executive producer. The show is produced, edited, and published by Tari Harrison. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah! And some waves, so we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that!
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in!
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it!
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.